Let me paint a picture for you. You probably lived. It's 3 a.m. You're at the hospital praying with a family in crisis. By 10 a.m., you're expected to carry the entire spiritual atmosphere of the service on your shoulders. And then by 7 p.m., you find yourself in a board meeting solving problems that you probably shouldn't be solving alone. You're the visionary, the counselor, the administrator, the preacher. You're the primary spirit agent. And we often call that leader a hero, but it's more like a leader who's redlining toward burnout. And something far worse is happening. The harvest is rotting in the field. And it's not because God isn't sending people. It's not because the Spirit isn't moving. It's because we've benched the players and turned the church into a spectator sport. And that's what happens when sacerdotalism, that rigid clarity-laity divide, quietly takes over. We professionalize the Spirit, centralize ministry and a few visible leaders, and the unseen parts of the body dormant. We trade a Spirit-energized organization for a top-heavy hierarchy. Well, today, we're moving from the solo hero to the Spirit-energized body. And Charles and I are opening 1 Corinthians 12 to see how God actually organizes his church, not for comfort, but for harvest. And it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your co-host, Charles Russell.
And I'm Bruce Ritter. We want to welcome you to Episode 6 of Season 3. And we're continuing to talk about gifts of the Spirit. Thanks for being with us today. Charles and I have been quite busy just the last couple weekends full of ministry. I'm on my way back today from Brussels, Belgium, having taught with some church planters in that country looking to expand the gospel. So, Charles, good to see you today.
Good to see you, Bruce. Welcome back to the good old United States of America. We missed you while you were gone. And so glad to have you back. Glad to be with you today on podcast. Well, as we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to look at verses 12 through 31 today. Let's one thing we're going to try to do is clear up a major misunderstanding. Paul is not giving the church a pleasant metaphor or a Sunday school biology lesson. What he's doing, he's describing incarnational ministry. So just as Christ was fully God and fully human, the gifts of the Spirit are where the supernatural interpenetrates the natural. They're not merely natural talents with a Christian label, but neither are they kind of spirit zombie activities that bypass your personality, your intellect, or even your agency. We might say it this way. The gifts are not just natural talents, nor are they spirit activity that negates human personality. They are the interpenetration of the divine and the human. This means that God's power does not replace you. It inhabits you. And so before we talk about these functions of structure and leadership roles, Paul forces us to confront this foundation. There's one Spirit, and there's one body. So get out your Bibles, turn to, or scroll to, or just get to 1 Corinthians 12, and Bruce is going to help take us there.
Yeah, verse 13 is a theological hinge for that chapter. Let me read it to you. Paul says, "We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So from a Pentecostal charismatic perspective, this verse is a masterpiece of what is called synthetic parallelism. Paul is holding two realities together that we often separate. The first one is the instrumental work of the Spirit. He is the one who baptizes us into the body of Christ. Now, other language uses it the fact that Jesus is our baptizer. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit's work is to bring us together into the body of Christ. Just like a person is water baptized, they go into the water. Well, there's a spiritual reality that happens when the Spirit of God is in your life. You are baptized into the body of Christ. And then that's the instrumental work of the Spirit, but the locative experience of the Spirit is that of being saturated, drinking deeply for empowerment. That's a beautiful picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about an incorporation and an endowment. We might think of it as identity, that you're now a redeemed and Spirit-filled follower of Christ, a child of God, but you're also tasked with an assignment. That within the body of Christ, you're there to edify and to build up. So we're not just joined together for fellowship alone, but we're saturated for mission. And so Paul describes, or rather demolishes, a couple of barriers that quietly strangle church growth. The first one is a cultural barrier. He mentions that the differentiation between Jew or Greek, that collapses in the Holy Spirit. Culture is honored, but it is never allowed to become exclusion. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that it's the body of Christ, that distinctions that divide us are overwhelmed by the things now that bring us together, that commonality of sharing in Christ's redemptive work in our lives, that our sins have been forgiven, that we belong to this body that has a mission in the world. And the cultural barriers are brought down. Secondly, there's economic barriers. He mentions the idea of the slave or the free. That was a radical idea in Corinth. So today, the Spirit gives equal necessity to the CEO and the janitor, the people on different economic scales. All of that seems to diminish. It vanishes, in fact, in Christ. And then thirdly, the participation barriers are demolished. Because we all drink of the same Spirit, ministry is not optional. The truth is, it's biological. An inactive member weakens the whole organism. So because we are all participating in the work of the Holy Spirit, we're all tasked with the ministry of serving. As we said last week, being available to the Holy Spirit and allowing the gifts of His work to come through us. But Charles, if that's true, why do so many believers feel like they don't belong?
Well, I think it comes down to what we might call a comparison trap. Comparison truly is the ultimate enemy of the body's growth structure. So Paul anticipates this immediately. He says, if I'm not a hand or if I'm not an eye, then I don't belong. This is a bit absurd, but just go with me for a moment. Imagine a 6 foot tall eyeball rolling into the church, claiming to be the whole body. I mean, that sounds a bit ridiculous, right? A little grotesque, but yet, functionally, many churches look exactly like that. When we overvalue platform gifts, visibility becomes the value. In comparison, man, it produces envy, isolation, dormancy. So, with this comparison mindset, it can really cripple the church. What the comparison mindset would say is that I don't belong. And a lot of times it's because I'm not visible, but it says I don't belong. The body ministry mindset says, oh, God arranged the parts. In a comparison mindset, value equals visibility. But a body ministry mindset says value equals divine appointment. Comparison says that the result is spectators. In a body ministry mindset or culture, the result is interdependence. So the theological correction is verse 18. God arranged the parts just as He wanted. And this leads us to Paul's most countercultural move, honoring the parts that seem weak. The Apostle Paul he did not understand. This is truly un-American. And Paul, you cannot go against the American way, the American dream. But Paul encouraged us to honor the parts that seem weak. And Bruce, help us out. What's Paul getting at here?
Yeah, well, verse 21, he says things like this: "The eye can't say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.'" I'm just going back to your image of the giant 6-foot eyeball rolling into church saying, "Hey, I'm here." The eye can't come in not only and say, "Hey, I'm everything," but he also can't turn to other parts of the body and says, "I don't need you." And so Paul is flipping that logic on its head. The parts that seem weaker are really indispensable. And this is not a sentiment. It's a strategy that God has ordained the parts of the body that look different, that serve different functions. And whereas, I can't imagine going through life without my vision or my sense of hearing. At the same time, my little toes in the body of Christ analogy are just as important. They're just as indispensable. And again, that's not a sentiment. That reflects God's design. And so I think there's something else that's coming out here, and that's simply this, that empathy is how the body stays alive. Empathy is the way, verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, then all rejoice together. So empathy is how the body stays connected. That idea of suffering and rejoicing together is how fragmentation is prevented. And I love what Dr. David Lim shares. He reminds us that discerning the body, a phrase that we often over-spiritualize, is fundamentally relational. In other words, if one part is infected, the whole body runs a fever. If one body is honored, the whole body rejoices. So there is that reality that the work of the Spirit in us truly is an incarnation of the Spirit's healing, bringing us together. As we mentioned earlier, where the different classes, the different cultures, they diminish because we share Christ now. We share that experience. And so that incarnation of God's healing work in us, listen, healing is not reserved for a superstar on the stage. It flows through a healthy, connected body. So to consider some leadership practices for a healthy body, number one, there's an active acceptance. We're not tolerating, but we're intentionally honoring people. I know that that their personality clashes within the body of Christ, but for heaven's sake, let's look above those. And let's say that there are people in this church, there are people in my spiritual community that I may not relate to the best, I may not understand them all the time, and truly, I don't know that I would probably spend a lot of time with them if I had the choice. Listen, if we're being honest, I think we all realize that happens in any kind of group of people anywhere. But in the body of Christ, we do look at people and say, that's an image bearer. That's someone that bears the image of Christ. And God has redeemed them and saved them, and I should be extending to them the same acceptance. So we're not just tolerating people. We're honoring one another. A second principle is that we break old bonds. That we help. Helping people is about helping them sever allegiances to past identities. Man, the beauty of the body of Christ is this is a place where people can become who they were created to be. And so we should be a church that is helping people step out of old habits and old patterns and old routines and become who they were created to be in Christ. A third principle is that there should be a decentralizing the anointing. Prayer before the altar call, not only at it, that we should be a people that recognize the anointing of the Holy Spirit is for the whole body of Christ. It should never be centralized on the platform. It should never be centralized in leadership. We want all the body of Christ, just like Moses said, man, I want the whole house of Israel to prophesy. That should be the heart of every pastor. We want the whole body of Christ to be operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then a fourth leadership practice really comes from that sense of empathy, that we share in the suffering, the pain in the body doesn't really cause us to focus on one part over the other, but we all feel it. We feel that the pain in the body is shared pain, and that should slow down our mission until it's addressed. We should give time and attention not just to growth, without addressing some of the need health in the body of Christ. I think that a church that ignores pain will eventually hemorrhage people. So we need to deal with the parts of our body that are hurting and really help them to overcome. Now, if the body is healthy, Charles, Paul begins to tell us how it actually moves. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so Paul lists what we might call the body's nervous system. Apostles, prophets, teachers, followed by helps and administration. These aren't titles for business cards. So all you apostles, put the business cards away. I've put mine away. They are enabling functions for harvest. So here's the pneumatological breakthrough, right? When Paul says eagerly desire the greater gifts, he may not be commanding. It may be an indictment. So, you know, you're already obsessing over the spectacular and misusing the purpose, or missing the purpose, rather. So that they become, again, not titles, not a title we're seeking or a title we're pursuing or a status. You know, these are enabling functions for the harvest. The apostolic gift is the pioneering gift. It's full of strategy. It's foundation laying. The apostolic gift, if I can add this, is not a come serve me gift. It is a go and serve others gift. It is a gift that facilitates structure and facilitates service. Man, the apostolic gifting promotes service, and it is a catalytic component that just multiplies service. And so that apostolic gift has to be leading the way in serving. This prophetic enabling really has an immediacy of God, a righteousness. It creates spiritual urgency. The teaching gifts, you know, they're going to form stability, spiritual formation. They're going to really bring doctrinal clarity. It's going to remove a lot of confusion and kind of the cloudy thinking. And I really like that term, doctrinal clarity. That's a byproduct of this teaching gift, the teaching enabling. And then, you know, Paul mentions helps and administration. So logistics that make harvest sustainable. How critical and important are helps and administration? They're extremely important. We want the harvest to be sustainable. And so that's what these gifts do. That's what they provide. And what we need is all these gifts working together. We want them all pulling and working in the same direction. The body cannot move no matter how gifted it is, and all of it leads us to what Paul calls the most excellent way. We're gonna talk about that a bit more in the next episode.
Yeah, Charles, those are all good points, and I would say that I think it's important to remember too. You know, when it comes to Paul's list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, he's not being comprehensive. He's not including all of the gifts of the Spirit. And so the references to the different, we would say maybe the leadership gifts that do come out in 1 Corinthians 12, you say, well, where's the pastor? Where's the evangelist in that? Actually, I think 1 Corinthians 12 is pretty profound when it doesn't mention the pastoral gift. I think it helps us see that sometimes pastoral leadership, not the gift itself, but the actual leader in the body of Christ, has to embody an apostolic mantle, a prophetic mantle, obviously a teaching mantle, but also helps in administration, and that also learning to bring people alongside that help and can share in those gifts. So, Charles, I think that's important to remember as we talk about these gifts in 1 Corinthians. Paul was not trying to give us this comprehensive catalog of the gifts. In fact, we encourage, man, don't just settle for the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. You need the gifts of Romans 12. You need the gifts of Ephesians 4. And again, they all work together. The body has its full expression when everybody is participating in the wide spectrum of spiritual gifts. Charles, how would you respond to that?
Well, you know, it's just an old cliche saying, teamwork makes the dream work, you know. And I certainly don't want to reduce spiritual gifts to cultural cliches. But, man, Paul uses the metaphor of the body, and we're a team, and these gifts need to work together to represent the fullness of Christ to our world, and to facilitate the fullness of Christ's ministry through the church. You know, we've said it kind of tongue in cheek here that it takes about two or three of us to make one Jesus. But you know, none of us have all of the gifts. So if we're going to grow into the fullness of Christ, and if we're going to minister in the fullness of Christ, it's going to require a team effort. And so leaders, that's on us to build the teams, to form the teams, and to lead a team ministry, a body ministry that grows into and facilitates the full ministry of Christ. Man, it takes teamwork.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's a sentiment that we're going to say time and time again, that really the fullest expression of ministry, the most comprehensive expression of ministry in the body of Christ, is when we equip leaders and ministers who express that ministry in teams. I'm just more and more I'm seeing that how important it is that we raise up and empower teams in ministry, people working together. I've heard George Bullard say one time that, in fact, he would take it a step further, that teams imply, you know, a specific mission. The real goal is to build a community of people that are working together, sharing in the ministries of Christ. That's what we said earlier, that we're all of those different barriers that we see, those sociological constructs in our culture, that this person is wealthy and this person is middle class and this person is in poverty. You know, all of that diminishes in the body of Christ. We don't look at people based on those identities. Even matters of race, we don't look at people based on their race or ethnicity. We don't look at people based on their cultural upbringing or tradition. The body of Christ is a thing. It is a very unique work of God in the earth. And this doesn't make us arrogant to say that, as we say, that it is not peripheral to the world. The church is the center of God's activity in the earth, his redemptive activity. And I think when the church walks in that, Charles, I think the church is walking in its fullest identity in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You couldn't have said it any better, Bruce. That is a perfect encapsulation of what we're talking about and the life that Christ calls us to. He calls us to his life. And the good news about that is he's given us his gifts, the Spirit gifts, to function and to facilitate our moving and functioning in the life of Christ. So, I praise God that the Spirit empowers us to live the life of Christ. And so, we've got to embrace respond to, but embrace that mandate, that calling, that invitation to. So as Jesus said to who would be his disciples, come and follow me. I think the same invitation is there to us today. And in what is this, 2026 now? Come, let's continue. Come on, come follow me. Come live this life. Come enter into this new life I'm calling you to. And as intimidating and as that can sound and feel, man, the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers us. He enables us through these gifts to fully engage and live in the life of Christ. So.
Amen. Well, here's the takeaway from today's episode. Diversity is not a problem to manage. Listen, it's God's design for your church. It's God's design for the harvest. And that solo hero model that so many pastors feel under pressure to satisfy, that's killing pastors and it's shrinking churches. The body model releases a capacity of ministry that you just never knew you had.
Yeah, that's right. And so we want to help to alleviate that. And listen, pastor, church leader, if you're ready to move from pastoring solo to equipping the saints, we would love to. We'd be honored to walk with you. You can visit charlesrusselltraining.com or charlesrusselministries.com for resources on spirit-filled servant leadership.
And if you're navigating burnout or transition or leadership complexity, you can explore spiritual life coaching at coachingcardia.com.
So reach out to Bruce or to myself. We would love to be a thinking partner, to be a walking partner with you as you navigate this transition from pastoring solo to equipping the saints. Hey, look, we're so thrilled that you tuned in today. Thank you so much. We count it an honor that you take the time to go on this journey with us in being formed by the five gifts. Keep exercising the gifts. Keep building the body. We'll see you next time right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.